Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
In Miami-Dade County, 36 dead. Twin Cities, 54 dead. Cleveland metro area, 16. The pastoral state of Vermont has the same problem, and it's not from eating too much Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
In every corner of our state, heroin and opiate drug addiction threatens us. It threatens the safety that has always blessed our little state.
Vermont Governor Pete Shumlin on Vermont Public Radio delivering his State of the State address last month. Heroin deaths are on the rise all over America. And none of the statistics I cited from the last few years involve a brilliant, famous Hollywood actor like Philip Seymour Hoffman, whose death hit the headlines over the weekend. Heroin has found powerful allies in synthetic prescription drugs made to imitate opium-derived narcotics. We turn now to Dr. Anand Veeravagu, senior neurosurgery resident at Stanford University School of Medicine and former special assistant to the Secretary of Defense. Doctor, welcome.
Hi, John. It's great to be here. Thank you.
So tell me about your sense of the scale of this problem and how the intersection of heroin and prescription drugs may be amplifying it.
Well, John, over the last decade or so, we've seen tight regulation surrounding prescription drugs, specifically oxycodone, OxyContin, and other opioid derivatives that are very similar to heroin. As we have tighter and tighter controls, which I think are rightfully so, on the distribution of prescription drugs, we find that people are turning to other alternatives that are a whole lot cheaper. For example, heroin that is laced with various other chemicals. And so the last decade has been extraordinarily unpredictable because laid on top of the idea that prescription drug use is changing in the United States is the reality that opium production is increasing in different parts of the world, whether it be in Afghanistan or in Latin America. And so the geopolitics of production of opium and various other heroin-like substances in combination with more strict controls of prescription meds has really changed and unfortunately made the landscape of drug abuse unpredictable in the United States.
Is there something more fatal about a heroin laced with a prescription drug or a prescription drug derivative?
Absolutely. And the term that's coming to bear in recent time is the idea of polydrug toxicity. And that is when you use one substance, for example, pure heroin, the side effects of such are a little bit more predictable than what would be the case if you were to take what may be heroin and have it laced with something like fentanyl, which is actually an opioid drug that's available by prescription and usually used in the hospital and is 100 times stronger than morphine. And so that's what we actually saw on the East Coast in Philadelphia just last week is we had a series of deaths related to the use of multiple drugs at the same time. Now, it's often alcohol that's combined with heroin that leads to unfortunate demise. But what we're seeing now is that the actual intravenous drug itself is being mixed with other drugs. And you have this polydrug toxicity that is completely unpredictable. And that's probably what is responsible, I think, in many cases for the increasing number of deaths that we're seeing.
You know, the other thing that you describe here, and it's really the public health nightmare, and you and others are going to have to deal with it, is the fact that the prescription drug opioid revolution, which has been so effective in dealing with palliative care in end-stage cancer and other places, has also unwittingly, I suppose, become a gateway drug for people in all socioeconomic levels who find themselves, when they can't get the prescription drug, really candidates to become heroin users.
Oh, gosh, John, I think you've hit the nail right on the head. Unfortunately, we see opioid prescription drug abuse in all sectors of society. And sort of in our clinical practice, we end up seeing addiction of all types. And heavy regulation on oxycodone, OxyContin, and as you may have heard, Vicodin was actually just taken off the market. I think is reasonable, and I think it's much needed because it prevents a lot of these pills from getting on the street. The trouble is, as you mentioned, they're very strong. They're very good at preventing and helping pain in terminally ill patients, maybe like cancer patients or chronic pain patients. At the same time, their addictive profile is extraordinarily powerful. And so I think that's probably why we're seeing a lot of people turning towards cheaper forms of the drugs, such as heroin and heroin laced with other drugs. And it's something that we have to control at the level of the healthcare system and also when thinking about how to deal with chronic pain. And I think medicine is making that change and we're headed in that direction. But because we aren't there yet, we're seeing a lot of what we're seeing sort of on the streets of our country.
Finally, have you ever encountered a case where someone who is used to taking opioid derivatives orally, right? And most of them are delivered orally, correct?
They are. That's right.
Yeah. Who develop an addiction to that prescription drug, who would never under any circumstances consider IV drugs, but because the addiction is so powerful and they're unable to get the oral opioids, shift into becoming an IV drug user.
I have seen that. And I think that's unfortunately an all too common story amongst our youth in particular. And what ends up happening is the addiction demand and the drive is so strong and the ability to obtain narcotics will eventually expire. Once you've demonstrated addictive behavior, usually your physician or healthcare provider will start initiating discussions about how we could potentially change to non-narcotic based pain medications, whether it's using behavioral therapy, acupuncture, or medications that don't involve an addiction pathway. And sometimes we'll have patients that may see that coming and they can't tolerate it. They're not willing to challenge the idea that they can break their addiction, or they're scared. And in that situation, we do have patients that may turn to the IV form of the drug that's available on the streets. And that's really scary for us. That is the person that we want to capture and make sure we prevent that transition as soon as possible. And it's sometimes just very hard to identify them. I wish there was a way we could predict who would be more likely to transition to an IV drug situation. But unfortunately, we just haven't gotten to the point where we can predict with accuracy who those people are. But I can assure you that once we get there, we will hopefully prevent a lot of our patients from transitioning over to illegal drug use.
Some scary public health questions there being asked by Dr. Anand Veeravagu, who's a senior neurosurgery resident at Stanford University School of Medicine, former special assistant to the Secretary of Defense. Doctor, thanks so much.
My pleasure, John. Thank you for having me.
The strength and power of addiction. You have some thoughts on that. Fort Lauderdale, Florida, each individual addict needs to find their own path, rehab, cure. Unfortunately, there's not a one-size-fits-all solution. What works for some may fail miserably for others. Recovery is a tough road and a never-ending battle. Thanks for that. You can call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or tweet us at The Takeaway. And there's much more on all this and everything on the program at thetakeaway.org.